Itlox lives in the small town of La Anse, located in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. She currently works for the Kanawha Ojibwa Community College as the project director for the college's Tribal Extension and Equity programs. Part of her work is focused on providing community-based educational opportunities with topics pertaining to food. Prior to working at the college, Kit spent 10 years working in the Water Resources Program for the Kanawha Indian Community Natural Resources Department. And throughout this experience, she learned of various food items that were traditionally harvested or gathered by her ancestors. While this topic did not seem directly pertinent to the water program, she did gain a deeper appreciation for the connection between all of our natural resources and their relevance to each other. It occurred to her at that time that additional educational resources and opportunities may be needed to spark curiosity in others, to help rebuild connections with Mother Earth. And this has been a driving focus of her education and career focus and her capstone, as it turns out. For her capstone, Kit examines the food sovereignty movement as one that can build resiliency and reconnect people to nutritious and culturally appropriate food. As a member of the Kanawha Indian community on the La Anse Indian Reservation in Michigan, her capstone acknowledges how Native American tribes throughout the nation are implementing food sovereignty initiatives to increase control of their food systems and making those important links to culture, health, and economic development. The goal of her project is to increase visibility and awareness of food sovereignty topics specific to her bioregion by developing a website that will share information and provide links to resources that support regaining control of a more traditional food system. Her research points to social media as a proven and effective tool to distribute information widely and quickly throughout her target audience. And as such, she created a website and is employing a wide variety of marketing metrics and data analytics to create impact indicators as a strategy for success. So, hi, Kit. It's great to have you on the podcast. I'm looking forward to talking to you about all of this. Your capstone project is centered on the concept of food sovereignty. But I thought before we jump into exactly what your capstone involves, I really think it would be helpful to have you provide a definition of food sovereignty. There are a number of concepts around which folks are actively engaging for food systems change these days. And we hear terms like food justice, food apartheid, decolonizing food systems, food sovereignty. And, I imagine it can just be a little bit confusing for folks. So I thought we could start with how it is you define and think about food sovereignty and why it is you chose to focus on this aspect of food systems change.
So food sovereignty can be defined as being in control of your food system. It will not look the same for everyone, as food systems can vary across the globe, which means that the methods of acquiring and producing foods and the foods themselves have significance to a specific culture, group, or person. Other elements include being ecologically sound and utilizing methods that are sustainable for the next generations. I chose to focus on food sovereignty as it has the potential to have such a powerful impact to strengthen connections to our food systems, our cultures, and our communities.
Well, it definitely does. And in terms of understanding the bioregional context of your work, your capstone is addressing food sovereignty issues in Baraga County, Michigan, and specifically the Lons Indian Reservation, home to the Kanawha Indian community. So what are some of the issues you're bringing forward?
Well, this target area is my home. I was born and raised within this community. So to give you a better picture of the community, the Lons Indian Reservation consists of a checkerboard land ownership, which means that the reservation is populated by more than just the Kanawha Indian community members. However, we are one community and the entire community is my target audience for this project. Berga County is rural, with most of the land forested. This area has high rates of poverty and unemployment, as well as high rates of health disparities, including diabetes and heart disease. According to the Indian Health Services, these health disparities are leading causes of death for Native Americans across the nation. Upon colonization of the United States, Native Americans were forced to assimilate to Western culture, including food practices. This led to separation from foodways, which also led to a disconnect from traditions, language, and the land.
Right.
And the COVID-19 pandemic created an even more disconnect, a disconnect from people, as we couldn't meet in for group events or even with large families. So food sovereignty can be a powerful tool that can help reconnect to our traditions and our culture, as well as the land. And that is why I chose to focus on this project.
So tell us about it. I know you're using a website and social media as platforms to take on this challenge. So how's it all going to work?
Well, I developed a website that contains basic writings, links to additional resources, such as images and downloadable infographics, designed to spark interest or prompt curiosity for individuals to learn more about food sovereignty topics. Some of the content includes basic introduction to what food sovereignty is. Food sovereignty methods included on the website contain local options, such as using our natural resources, including treaty rights, farming, and breastfeeding. On the website, I also include some of my personal methods towards my own quest of food sovereignty, as well as a contact page if there is additional topics that people would like to learn more about. For my project, I utilized Wix, a cloud-based website builder, as a platform to develop the website.
Well, I wondered about that. You know, I wondered how you know, it's not everybody that can do that. So that's great.
Oh, Wix is a fabulous and very user-friendly cloud-based website builder. It offers very user-friendly tools for developing the website, as well as providing available tools for promotion. So to advertise this website and to reach my target audience, I will advertise the website on social media and on using search engine optimization for direct marketing. It was determined that Facebook would be the best platform for social media to get the interest and advertise for the website. Mm-hmm. The Facebook aspect in the Wix website builder, I utilized keywords and zip codes, actually. So with the zip code aspect, I can target Berga County specifically, mm-hmm. and these wonderful little ads with a little icon of the website with food sovereignty as the keywords popping up in the screen, utilizing some bright colors to get attention. That's what folks will see in their Facebook pages, and the keywords will help with people who are interested in these topics. It will prompt these advertisements more frequently in their feed as well.
Yeah, that's just terrific. So was this whole thing like a model, or were there, you know, these were strategies maybe that you'd seen used somewhere before, or like, how did you go about deciding, you know, to take this kind of an approach in terms of what you wanted to communicate and to educate about?
Well, the approach actually was decided on primarily due to experiences and strategies that resulted from the COVID-19 pandemic, mm-hmm. as we were separated and we weren't able to contact folks as easily, and meeting was limited. In my current employment, I experienced these barriers of communicating education to the target audience, as we mainly held in-person events. So to develop a new strategy, we discovered that some of our folks were hard to contact without in-person availability or actually without Facebook. In January of 21, after the pandemic had already been going for nearly a year, our local tribal newsletter was no longer being published. And originally, that was one of our primary ways of advertising for our events or educational opportunities that we provided. So we were struggling in our experiences to get the word out, as our events were very limited in participation.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. So we explored new avenues, and I started advertising information in Facebook. And amazingly, there was such a great participation. Participation rates increased, the word has spread, and that was the primary deciding factor, that Facebook needs to be one of the places this information is advertised on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So what about the metrics then? So, because I know you're interested in seeing how the website and maybe social media are being used. Tell us what your thoughts are about that and why understanding this piece is valuable.
Well, I was excited that Wix, the website builder, also includes some metrics to analyze the success of your website. Some of the indicators that I'll be reviewing include the number of visits to the website, and this includes original or new visitors. Mm-hmm. Using Google Analytics, we can also determine the average time a user spent on the web page. Now, to me, that this is important because this shows that the community is interested in those topics, and those are areas that we could potentially increase opportunities for education on. The number of pages viewed is extremely important to me, as this is a demonstration as to really what if the community or the target audience or anyone who is viewing the website is interested in food sovereignty topics and explore new areas or more information for food sovereignty.
Yeah, right. You know, and I can see where that's so valuable when it gets to that level of detail, so that you can understand what specific topics people are clicking onto and spending more time with. And that really can tell you, the kinds of things that are important to folks who have chosen to engage with this, right? Well, I'm wondering, this is such a great project. Overall, sort of aspirationally, what are your hopes in terms of the impact this project can have?
Well, my ultimate hope is that it will impact community members to seek food sovereignty and just starting out doing a few things to reach food sovereignty, as it will ultimately build resilience for the community, especially being a rural area and disconnected from other places in the world. Ultimately, I may not see the direct impact. However, I am hoping that the impacts I will see will be increased participation in educational programming regarding topics focused on food sovereignty initiatives, and not just in educational programming at my place of work, but in other partner programming mm-hmm. within the community.
Yeah, that's great. And I know you had a couple of people reading through sort of your proposal and sort of helping you along the way with ideas and suggestions as you developed this. And one of those people is Dr. Wendy Stu Harper, who's a faculty member at Prescott College in the Sustainable Food Systems Program. And she's joined us on the podcast today. Welcome, Wendy Sue.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
I'm always glad to have you on. And I just thought, I'm curious what your thoughts. I mean, food sovereignty is so terrifically important. And I just was kind of wanting to have an opportunity to allow you to weigh in on that as well.
Well, I think this is a truly wonderful project. And I'm just so proud of the work that Kit has done. And I guess I would add that with our current supply chain issues, I think everyone should be having a bit more food sovereignty in their life. And, you know, this could include things like kitchen gardens, which are small, beautiful, productive vegetable and herb gardens, or even, you know, vegetables and herbs in containers for a container garden. It's just a really important thing for people to consider. Food sovereignty really empowers people, which is really, really important in our world. So those are my comments.
Yeah, thanks for that. And yeah, it is all about sharing this concept and practice and education around that. And I'm wondering, Kit, have you considered ways to share your website with folks, other folks doing this kind of work? Not necessarily the folks you're reaching out to in your community, but the people who are also working in their communities to promote food sovereignty. You know, it's always helpful not to reinvent the wheel, right? So I just wonder if you've had any thoughts about that.
Thank you, Lisa. Absolutely. In my current employment, I am connected to tribal land grant institutions throughout the nation, and specifically in Michigan. The Michigan land grant folks, I would be absolutely, they will probably be the first people that I am considering sharing my methodology and right. and information with, as well as there's local food collaboratives that I would love to share this information with as well. And data from the specific webpage can indicate interest for planning a future event, not only for my organization, but as our partner organizations throughout Michigan.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you've given it some thought because, you know, it things change when you're able to do that sort of networking and get that information and those resources and have that peer learning and sharing happening on multiple scales. So I'm very excited to hear that. So yeah, you know, we are coming down to it in terms of the capstone is always that last bit that an MSFS program student engages with. So as you are preparing to leave Prescott, I wonder if you can reflect on your experience of having been in the MSFS program.
Throughout my experience at Prescott in the MSFS program, I have met and learned from so many wonderful people. My experience has been truly amazing. This experience also included COVID-19, which was a little challenging. Though the pandemic did not impact how the courses were run, of course, as the program is completely online, right. It did impact all of the other aspects of my life, which ultimately did impact my coursework as well. This was a very humbling experience. But during this time, I was able to connect with some fantastic and patient people, which I could not be more grateful for. To any incoming students, I would highly recommend utilizing all the wonderful services that are available, even to online students, through Prescott College.
Well, you're a great ambassador for the program. I appreciate those comments. So, Kit, what's going to happen post-graduation for you? Will anything change?
Well, my plans upon graduation include continuing working within Native American communities while increasing my focus specifically and dedicating more time to food-based initiatives that promote healthy eating, traditional, and sustainable diets. This will include developing and implementation of curriculum for undergraduate coursework, as well as community-based education programming at the college.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Kit, and I'm so excited about your project, and I wish you all the very best with it and with your plans post-graduation. We will miss you.
Thank you so much, Lisa, and thank you for having me on here. And thank you, Dr. Wendy Sue Harper, for attending the podcast with me today.
Thanks for listening to The Capstone, a podcast produced by the Graduate Program in Sustainable Food Systems at Prescott College. Please join us again for our next episode in Season 5. And until then, you can find all of the previous episodes cataloged on our website, thecapstone.info. Until next time, I'm Lisa Trocchia, wishing you well.